Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
What's up and welcome back to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, March 24th, 2023. Of course, I'm Tim Geddes and I am joined by the new face of video games, Blessing Adeoye Jr.
Happy 8th birthday to Bloodborne.
Oh, wow!
8 years old.
8 years, 2015, what a time.
What a time to be alive.
Was it 2015, 2016?
2015.
2015?
It was 2015. Yeah, the same year that we got Metal Gear Solid 5.
Yeah.
The same
Phantom
year.
Pain.
The Phantom Pain. The same year that we got The Witcher 3.
Yeah.
The same year we got Fallout 4. The same year we got Undertale and Rocket League.
Oh, man.
Yeah. What a year.
What a year.
That was a fantastic year.
Mad Max as well.
Yeah.
Mad Max. Batman Arkham Knight, maybe?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Arkham Knight as well.
How long can I keep doing this? I can keep listening to 2015 games.
Yeah, you love 2015 much more than you like 2009, let me tell you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
When did Order 1886 come out? Because we've been talking about that a lot.
That might have been 2015 as well.
Maybe. I was going to say 2014, because I remember 2014 being a down year. Like, 2014, what, Game of the Year that year must have been South Park, The Stick of Truth, or Shadow of Mordor.
Must have been.
That was February 2015.
Wow.
Really?
That's insane.
Wow. It's wild. What's your favorite game from 2015?
My favorite game from 2015? Ah, man, I'm blanking.
It's got to be Metal Gear Solid 5.
Or, what was Nintendo doing then? Was that the Star Fox Zero year? It might have been.
Yeah.
Might have been the Mario Maker year?
Maybe. No, Mario Maker was earlier than that. It was 20. I don't know. Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze came out 2014.
No, Mario Maker was 2015.
It was?
Yeah.
You know, I didn't.
Listen, I'm the keeper of a few things. One of those things is 2015 video games.
Yeah.
Well, it came on the year, 2015.
I mean, yeah, Metal Gear Solid 5 is the answer. Yeah.
God, what a good ass video game that was.
Dude. Remember when Ground Zeroes dropped?
Yeah.
Remember when the trailer for Ground Zeroes dropped? It was like, what the fuck? How does a video game look like this? And then we got to play it, and it was so fun. And then Ground Zeroes is just endlessly replayable. And
like,
you know what? You could do it 100 different times, and it's still going to be freaking fun.
And then they put out Phantom Pain, and it was like a bunch of Ground Zeroes in one video game. 10 out of 10 video game. Sucks that the story never finished that one.
Yeah. Maybe one day, but maybe not.
Maybe
you know? Not. You'll have to stay tuned here. On Kinda Funny Games Daily, where each and every weekday live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames and youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, we come at you with all the video game news that you need to know. You can get it as a video by going to YouTube or roosterteeth.com. You can also get it as a podcast by searching your favorite podcast service for Kinda Funny Games Daily, and we'll be right there for you. But guess what? If you wanted to get the show ad-free, you got to go to patreon.com/kindoffunny, just like our Patreon producers Tripod Plus Plus and Delaney Twining have done. We appreciate you so very, very much. A little housekeeping for you. A new Kinda Funny podcast is up right now. It's a one-on-one between me and Greg Miller. Greg opens up about how hard his life's been recently. It's a very emotional episode, Bless.
I listened to most of that episode.
It's a real
start
one.
My day. I was like, you know what I haven't listened to in a long time? The Kinda Funny podcast. I need a pick-me-up this week. Let me put on this episode. Yeah. That was not a pick-me-up.
Not a pick-me-up.
But it's a good episode.
There is some gold in there. If you want some high-quality cruise line jokes, this might be the episode for you. Besides that, there's a new PS I Love You up. What's that one about?
That one is our review of Chia. Greg's played it. Janet's played it. Chia. And what else did we talk about? I think we just kicked it. Other than that, just hung out. That was the one where there was the breaking news that the voice actor for Venom had leaked the Spider-Man 2 release
date. Yeah, that was happening live as we were recording that episode.
Happened live during that episode, so we have a good old discussion about that as well.
We talk about The Last of Us Season 2, a little tease from Neil as well.
Mm.
Spider-Man 2 and September possibly, and some other PlayStation picks and all that.
PlayStation
good stuff.
Picks,
PSPs, someone call them.
That is what they would call them. Yeah,
that is what they would call them. Today we're brought to you by Honey, but we'll tell you about that later. Bless, how are you doing on this Friday?
I'm doing all right.
I feel like
I'm so tired.
I know, dude. It's been GDC week. We did so much this week. Some of it together, most of it not.
Yeah.
But overall, how was your first GDC in San Francisco? As Kinda Funny.
It's been fantastic. So this is actually my second GDC. I went to GDC last year, but GDC last year was a ghost town is the thing, right? It was the first GDC post-pandemic, and there was nobody there. It felt like you would go onto the show floor at GDC and it'd just be like blockchain bullshit and like Web3 bullshit. And so this year feels like the year where it's come back in full force. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were saying that this has been the most attended GDC, and I'm like, damn, that's kind of wild that like it coming back, you know, again, a couple years after everything's gone down with the pandemic, being able to come back bigger and better than ever. I think that just speaks to the excitement and how much people have missed GDC. Like, it is the event where game developers get to come together, network together, hang out, go to mixers, go to parties, do all that stuff. And so it's been a very fun week for me, attending a bunch of different mixers. Like, we attended like one or a couple together, and we went to the mix as well. Me, Barrett, Mike, and a few of us, Roger Corney, and that was a really good time as well, right? That is basically a bunch of indie devs have their booth set up with their games to play, and then also there's drinks and you can hang out. And there's a bunch of people, and you're seeing a lot of people that you've either seen online or you've seen at like other events, right? And so you're catching up, and it's been just a long week of me catching up with so many people and meeting so many people, and it's been really cool. Again, having this be the big full fledged GDC is back GDC as part of Kind of Funny, because I have met. I think this has been the event where I've met the most people that have recognized me from being on content, which is like a weird feeling, because cool. I like apologize so much, or I'm like, every time somebody's like, oh yeah, I listen to you every day, or like, oh yeah, my partner listens to you every day, I'm like, I'm so sorry. I can't imagine hearing my voice
Jeff
daily.
Rubenstein earlier this week when him and I met for the first time in person, he's like, yeah, it's so weird to like listen to you for hundreds of hours and here you are. I was like, yeah, I'm sorry that you listened to us.
The thing I've gotten the most though that I wasn't expecting is how many people have shouted out the Black Hairstyles video.
Incredible
in particular
stuff, man.
Where I was at a game dev mixer a couple nights ago, and I was just hanging out. I had friends that were supposed to show up that didn't show up, and it was like 9 p.m. and honestly, part of it was nobody's fault, because I got there, paid $30 to get in.
Oh no.
Yeah. I'm hanging out and like there's zero service in my phone, and so I'm getting no texts, and I'm like, all right, when are they gonna show up? And then when I finally go up, when I'm finally leaving, I see that like, oh no, they changed plans. Like they went bowling instead, and I missed the bowling text. But while I was hanging out at that game dev mixer, a dude walks up and he's like, "Hey, what's up?" Yeah, and like we introduce ourselves, and I say, "Oh yeah, I'm Blessing." He's like, "Okay, that's what I thought. I watched your video today, like earlier today. Like my friend, I never heard of Kind of Funny. I didn't know. I'd never heard of your channel. A friend earlier, like a few hours ago, showed me your video about black hairstyles, because we were talking about black hair in video games, and he was like, you got to watch this. And I thought I was tripping when I saw you standing here in real life. And like, that was the one where I was like, dude, that's fucking crazy.
That's freaking
like,
cool,
I can't imagine
dude.
That happened to me, where I watch a YouTuber and then a few hours later I see that YouTuber just randomly at a bar. But yeah, aside from that, I've met like so many people that were like, oh yeah, we watched that video, or we watch Kind of Funny Games Daily. And it's been such a really cool feeling to actually like see that in person, because you know, I feel like so much of our shows and so much of KFGD especially is it feels like it's just two people talking, right? Yeah. Like that is the premise of the show, is that it's just us kicking it, just us having a good time, talking every single morning about video game news. I think over time I have shielded myself from the fact that thousands and thousands of people out there listen as well. And so it was really weird to like actually meet some of those people and go, wow, like you listen to me while you're driving to work or taking a shower or taking a shit or whatever. Like,
definitely
you
that.
Actually listen to our voices. And so shout out to y'all listening. And
yeah,
shout out to everybody.
Shout out to everybody.
Come up to me during GDC.
It's been great. I mean, yeah, there's so many people. Like I haven't seen GDC pop off like this in a long time. Like just being in the Metreon Yerba Buena area, which is like this like mall/park/ just space, like public space, and it was just so crowded with just game devs everywhere, and I was like, it's cool, we're back.
Yeah,
baby,
we're back.
And I never thought we would be, but
we're here.
Really cool stuff, and I'm happy that you're finally getting to experience the magic that is understanding who the listeners and viewers are to the stuff that we make. But you know what,
you know what's cooler though is the fact that like a lot of the people that you'll talk to, especially at GDC, like everybody's a developer. And so you'll meet somebody where you're like, oh, shoot, you work for Naughty Dog, or you work for, oh, I love Insomniac. And they're like, oh, I love Kind of Funny. I'm like, wait, really? Because I like your work.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy that it's I'm great. Over here playing Spider-Man, and somebody who made, like, I don't know, Peter Parker's face in that game listens to us on this podcast. It's bonkers. It blows my mind every time.
It's definitely a lot. let's begin with what is now and forever the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have five stories today.
Up it goes!
I love it. I love it. A little live Barrett action.
Thank you, Barrett.
Coaster boy.
I realized there are no coasters.
Yeah, no, I was for sure leaving watermarks on here. I was feeling really bad about it.
Starting off with story number one. A trailer reveals the new post-Ash era Pokemon anime is Pokemon Horizons. The Pokemon Company has revealed that the next series of anime will be called Pokemon Horizons. A trailer for the new series was shown after the final episode of Pokemon Ultimate Journeys aired in Japan this morning. The final episode marked the end of Ash and Pikachu's story arc, an adventure that had been ongoing since the first episode of the show 26 years ago. Pokemon Horizons will instead feature new protagonists called Liko and Roy. A description for the trailer reads, set sail for a new journey in Pokemon Horizons, the series. Follow Liko and Roy as they unravel the mysteries that surround them and encounter Freed, Captain Pikachu, Amethio, and others during their exciting adventures. The series will be set in the Paldea region, which is the same setting from Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, and will feature the Paldea starter Pokemon Sprigatito, Fracoco, and Quaxly in a prominent role.
How old do you feel?
So incredibly old. Old,
like 26 blessing. Years ago. I didn't watch it premiere because I think I was like 2 or 3 years old, but I do remember like being on Cartoon Network and seeing the first episode of Pokemon and watching it multiple times because it was always on for some reason. And to get to where we're at now, where it's been on for so long, and it's been on for so long that Ash has become champion and is now like, cool, my time is here, is done. Chill. I gotta pass the torch on to these other guys, Liko and Roy. Like, fucking wild that we've gotten here.
It's super, super wild, man. And yeah, I've been watching. So for those that don't know, the Ash won the championship in the most recent anime series. And that kind of was the big climax. And then they closed it out. And then there was this 11-episode kind of epilogue series called Aim to Be a Pokemon Master. And the final episode just aired this morning. And it was kind of just like the victory lap of him kind of going around of like, what does it mean to be a Pokemon master, and him trying to like figure that out and what his next move is. And I've been watching it week to week, and like, admittedly, it's not what I would want from what I just explained. Like, it, you know, there's like the super hype path of just like, what are the coolest things they can do? What questions do they have remaining to answer? Like, is there going to be like one final last stand against Team Rocket or something? Like, it's not that. It's very much just like, what does it mean to be a Pokemon master? It means the journey and the bonds and the friendships, and that even if you say goodbye, you might say hello again in the future. Like, all those type of fucking like feel good bullshits. But guess what? It makes you feel good. And I woke up this morning at 6 a.m. to watch this thing in Japanese with no subtitles, because that's how it works. I'll rewatch it later when it comes out subtitles. But I didn't want to be spoiled on anything if anything crazy happened, you know?
Sure, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's emotional. You know, I've been like looking forward to this for like the last couple months, and it's weird that it's over. And like, it was I would say a satisfying end. It's just, it wasn't like the most incredibly hype thing, but it had incredibly hype moments. And they didn't do everything that I thought they were going to. They didn't do everything I wanted them to, for sure, but they did some things I didn't expect that I was like really like, wow, that speaks to me as an OG fan, like somebody that was there day one with this franchise and with this show. And there's some moments like returns and things that I just like was like, damn, like, y'all care so much, and you know how you're going to make people feel out there. So it was a really special moment, and I thank you, Ash and Pikachu, for your service.
Salute to you, Ash and Pikachu. Are you telling me that they didn't revisit the first episode where Ash saw, I believe it was a Ho-Oh that was flying in the distance?
I don't want to confirm nor deny that.
Okay.
Bless. I don't want to confirm or deny that. But they did end the episode with, every episode ends with the to be continued, where like the screen gets small and say to be continued. And this time it just says next time, a new beginning.
Wow.
And I'm just like, oh, wow. They got me. They Holy fucking cow. Got me there.
Holy cow.
But yeah, it was, it's wild, man. It's wild that it's over. And it was just really cool to see how they handled some of the characters that we've known for 26 years, kind of final moments. Potentially, I'm sure they'll be back. You know what I mean? It's like, no fucking way that Ash and Pikachu aren't coming back, that these characters we know and love aren't coming back.
You think Liko and Roy are gonna run into them and they're gonna be like gym leaders? I guess in this case, like, Ash would be the champion that they would face. I guess Misty would be a gym leader that they could run into. Or
we'll see. We'll see. There's a lot going on. But the last 11 episodes have had Misty and Brock be the companions, so it was very much a nostalgia fueled kind of like trip down memory lane of like, hey, remember this? Remember that? It was like a lot of like old moments done slightly different again, but like that's what we like watching for these things.
Yeah. So then how do you feel about this new series coming up? Like I know you're probably in here, you're probably watching lately for the Ash and Pikachu and that nostalgia and all that stuff, but does the Aliko and Roy story do anything for you? I find it interesting. And not interesting. I find it lovely, but also a bit like, all right, that they're rolling with another Pikachu, as I imagine, like, one of if not the main Pokemon, Captain Pikachu here, because I'm like, I get Pikachu is the mascot of Pokemon, so I understand why, but I feel like this would have been an opportunity to find another new mascot, even if it was an Eevee.
But to me, it feels more like Sprigatito is the, like, kind of the main one. The main kind of Pokemon going here on out. And Captain Pikachu seems to be, like, a fun side character, just to have him around, you know? Because you can't not have Pikachu around.
Does Captain Pikachu talk?
No.
No.
Okay.
But so it's funny, though, because this older character, who, like, looks cool, I forget what his name is, but Freed, I think, it seems like he has a Pikachu and a Charizard. So he's very much, and him being older, I think he's supposed to kind of represent the us's of the world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the more the OG, like, and we know that one of the main characters, Liko or Roy, I don't remember which one, is from Kanto. So, which is where like they're all from. So we'll see where they go with it. I'm excited. It comes out in a couple months. I think the first episode is going to be like an expanded, like hour long one. I'll give it a shot, but I don't expect that I'm going to stick with this one. I was definitely there for the Ash journey and like having that all kind of come to an end. But I'm interested in the animation style for this, and it seems cool. And obviously, I loved Scarlet and Violet so much that I kind of want to see how they handle the Paldea region, because in the show, they essentially totally skipped the Galar region, like the Sword and Shield.
Yeah.
Like they didn't do the gym battles and stuff. Like he didn't travel around and like episode by episode get the eight badges. Instead, that season was like him revisiting all the old regions for the tournament, like for the it was like the championship tournament arc instead of him getting eight more badges.
Do you think they double back to Galar in this new show?
I do think they're gonna like sit at home and like be in Paldea and separate it this from Ash's story, I think. But we'll see where they go with it. But yeah, I don't know how much I'm going to stick with this, but I do predict that they're probably going to do like an Ash and Pikachu movie within the next couple of years.
Oh man, I hope so. And that's the last thing is, I hope the legacy never dies.
Yeah, and when it won't. I mean, like that's the thing is, like they're kind of leaving it open that way. Like it's not like and Ash won everything and that's the end of it. It's more just like, no, the point is the journey never ends. You know.
So this isn't a bye bye Butterfree. It's more of a see you later, Charizard.
yes. But man, like, I don't want to spoil anything here, but I'll spoil shit for you later off camera, because I know you're not going to watch it otherwise.
Why not?
Because there's some really cool stuff.
Oh, hell yeah.
But anyway, go watch Pokemon, support cool shit. Story number two, Xbox's Activision Blizzard deal.
People in chat saying, see you later for alligator. I fucked up. That's the good one. See you later for alligator is great.
Yeah. God. Yeah, a lot of good stuff in this. Xbox Activision Blizzard deal takes major step forward in CMA investigation. This comes from Ryan Dinsdale at IGN. Xbox's Activision Blizzard acquisition takes step forward as the UK's Competitions and Markets Authority, CMA, has revealed it is now less concerned over the deal going through. The CMA released a statement saying that one of its key provisional concerns, that the deal would harm competition if Microsoft made Call of Duty an Xbox exclusive, has now been addressed and is no longer an issue. Following significant feedback from Microsoft, Sony, and all other involved parties, the CMA has said that it wouldn't make sense to make Call of Duty exclusive, as this would only lose Xbox money. It's unclear if Microsoft's drive to sign deals putting Call of Duty on Nintendo Switch and various cloud gaming platforms affected this decision. I do love all the memes going around of like all the places that they're trying to like... Xbox is like, yeah, and you can also play Call of Duty on the Switch, and also a toaster, and also...
we've signed a 10-year deal with Samsung to put Call of Duty on Samsung fridges. Like, it's been very fun seeing them, like, make the tour and me learning new platforms that I didn't know existed that they're trying to put Call of Duty on for 10 years.
This doesn't mean the deal will definitely go through. As the CMA said, it still has major concerns over its impact on the cloud gaming market, but Microsoft will likely be happy with the announcement, and Activision Blizzard is too. The CMA's updated provisional findings show an improved understanding of the console gaming market and demonstrate a commitment to supporting players and competition. Sony's campaign to protect its dominance by blocking our merger can't overcome the facts, and Microsoft has already presented effective and enforceable remedies to address each of the CMA's remaining concerns. We know this deal will benefit competition, innovation, and consumers in the UK. Fucking suck on that.
Like, you gotta say it in a British accent, you know?
So and like the back and forth of all this, it's like, yo, it's inevitable, yeah. Man.
I mean, I think now this really does make it inevitable, right? This was one of the bigger obstacles in the Microsoft's way, right? Like the CMA has been pretty like sturdy in terms of them being nervous about the acquisition and them coming out and being like, and showing understanding and being like, no, yeah, like Xbox, they would still put this on PlayStation because of XYZ reason. It still makes the money. All this, it goes back to what I think I said when this deal was first announced is the fact that Microsoft isn't going to buy Activision Blizzard and Call of Duty and then go, all right, let's stop making Call of Duty money, right? Like, let's stop making all those millions and tens of millions and hundreds of millions of dollars on PlayStation and other platforms. The more Call of Duty is spread out across platforms and consoles, the more money you're going to make. And like, I think for Call of Duty, that is different from Bethesda. That is different from what we see with their other acquisitions. It is the fact that Call of Duty is ubiquitous. It's the biggest first-person shooter franchise in the world. If not, it's one of the biggest video game franchises in the world, right? There's so much money on the table there. And so I think the understanding from the CMA there is huge. Them backing off and being like, or not even not backing off, but them leaning up and being like, all right, cool. Like, we feel a bit more comfortable about this now. That's huge. I wonder if this is the turning point for Sony to go, all right, it's inevitable. Let's sign the deal. Because PlayStation has been the one side of this that has been fighting so hard against it. We're not signing anything. We are fighting this. Like, we are not. Our goal is to not let Microsoft own Call of Duty. That is our one goal here. I think now that it seems like that goal, that path has become so much clearer for Xbox, I imagine that PlayStation at some point is going to have to sign the ink. Otherwise, you might say goodbye to Call of Duty, or at least you might say goodbye to better deals,
yeah.
Right? Things like PS Plus, things like even like marketing stuff. Like, you might miss out on some of the stuff you would want if you're going to have Call of Duty still be on your platform.
Which they offered recently, yeah. Or at least are talking about the same day and date with PlayStation Plus, like having the one-to-one with Xbox Game Pass. Like, that is just such a wild proposition for them to position Call of Duty in that way. And that just shows how valuable this entire deal is to them, because again, it's important to note that Call of Duty is the flashy title being talked about that has so much to back it up, mm-hmm. But there's also countless IP around it, including different verticals and different spaces with the mobile side of things, with King, Candy yeah. Crush, like all of that. But then also the esports side with Overwatch and a lot of the things that
the Blizzard
side, the Diablo's coming soon, like all of that. Like, it is interesting to look at how games industry shifted throughout the generations and decades, where there used to be the big three, and who the big three were changed over time. Sega used to be involved, Xbox comes up, all of that. Nintendo kind of finds its own place in the industry. But when you looked at how things worked, we understood where the exclusives fell, what a third party was, how deals worked and all that. As times went on and big acquisitions have started to like just pile up and snowball, we get things like Minecraft that's put in a weird situation where Mojang gets bought by Microsoft. Mm-hmm. And there's that question of like, wait a minute, Minecraft is incredibly popular and everywhere. Is it going to stay there? Or is there going to be an Xbox game on other systems? Yeah. And that's what ended up happening. And that just kind of became the norm. And then going forward, seeing things that like all the crossplay initiatives that with Fortnite and now with everything, with Game Pass and Bethesda's acquisition, all of that stuff of like, they've shown different ways that they could handle this, whether they are holding tight to the exclusivity or if they're like, we're going to play a little fast and loose with some of this stuff. For them to talk about Call of freaking Duty in this way, and I don't want to say desperate, they're power playing it of just yeah. like, yeah, no, we'll give you Call of Duty more than we've ever given before to just have you get off our case. Like, it is the most aggressive campaigning possible.
Yeah.
And it's just yet another new way for the industry to kind of like work and for these games to be delivered. Like, what does this look like in 10 years?
Well, that's my big question, right? You talk about them, Microsoft being like, hey, we'll give it to you. Put it on PS Plus, do whatever. Like, we can make those deals happen. All you got to let us do is allow us to acquire Call of Duty. I think the question is, like, what is the final goal? What is Microsoft's ultimate play here for Activision Blizzard? Of course, probably the biggest part of it is money. Is the fact that Call of Duty makes so much money. Another big part of it is mindshare and how important as software is Call of Duty is, right? And so if you're Microsoft and you are and you're Xbox, right, and you're having this software battle with PlayStation and Nintendo, get the biggest software, cool. Like, you're automatically put in the spot where you have all this power. But then, you know, you talk about Minecraft and that being bought by Xbox. And guess what? When you log into to Minecraft, I believe kindoffunny.com says you're wrong. You have to, I think you have to log into Xbox or have to like make an Xbox
your
or Microsoft
account.
What if you did that for Call of Duty? What if, okay, cool. Call of Duty's on PlayStation Plus. I download it as a PlayStation person, and the first thing I got to do is make a Microsoft account. That I think is what PlayStation really doesn't want, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they really
the Trojan horse.
Exactly, it's the Trojan horse. You get it, get people to go, oh, I have a Microsoft account. Oh man, okay, well, oh man, Game Pass is here. Oh man, like Xbox wants to funnel people in by any means necessary, right? That is why they have cloud as a thing. That is why they have Xbox Game Pass as a thing. That's why they have their games on PC. That's why they have a PC app, right? Like,
Samsung,
they are
TVs.
Samsung TVs. They are trying to place themselves everywhere as possible and give people as many avenues as possible to get into their ecosystem and eventually get into Game Pass and just exist on the Microsoft platform. And Call of Duty might be the default way to get people into that, right? Yeah. If you just place that Microsoft login in there, which I'm sure people will complain about, but like, we'll get over that pretty quickly, right? Like, as long as I'm playing my Call of Duty, I'm cool. Boom. That's checkmate on that side to PlayStation.
Yeah, and it's going to be in more places than ever because of all the promises they've been making. And if they commit to the parity between everything, getting Call of Duty on Switch, I don't think it'll... I mean, I know it'll never become the number one way that people play Call of Duty, but if it's another way that people that are already playing can play or new people can start playing, and, again, being introduced the Trojan horse way to the Xbox brand and the Game Pass brand specifically. These big power moves are going to sway how the industry has to function. Like, even talking back to the crossplay initiative that happened, where crossplay felt like a fever dream and now it's an expectation.
Yeah.
So how much can Xbox push this to kind of like make it an expectation that Game Pass is everywhere, you know? Because, like, that's the thing, is like, they're playing chess here in a way that could end up that the consumers and everyone else demands that there's equity across the board for things. And at that point, Xbox wins.
Yeah. It's so crazy to see. We were talking about this, what, like a year or so ago when these deals were first coming through, and the theory that one of the things that we're throwing around that I very much kind of agree with is that I think Microsoft's end goal still is to have Xbox Game Pass everywhere. I think they want Xbox Game Pass on PlayStation. I think PlayStation are the ones that would fight it tooth and nail. I think they'd
which
be like,
makes
no.
so much sense.
Which makes so much sense because like that would ruin everything that PlayStation's fighting for, right? Like, PlayStation is in the lead, and they have been in the lead because they're focused on selling hardware and they're focused on putting out software that sells that hardware. You buy a PlayStation 5 because Spider-Man is only available on the PlayStation 5. You buy like PSVR 2 maybe because Horizon game is on PSVR 2. That might not be as great of an example, but you get where I'm going with this. Xbox is changing the game. At least they're trying to change the game into a game that they can win because they have the resources of Microsoft. They have this money they can spend. They have this ecosystem they can build. They have this tech support that they can rely on because they have access to Microsoft Cloud. They have access to like
TurboTax.
Did you say TurboTax? They have access to TurboTax on PC. Microsoft has so much, so many resources available that they can pull from. Even though like their software, like their first party lineup and like their first party output isn't doing the same thing as PlayStation's. They're like, cool, let's just play our own game here and get Xbox Game Pass on PlayStation possibly. It's been fascinating to watch. Sometimes it's been frustrating to watch just from the back and forths and all the shit, right? But this is, for all the stories we cover on the Xbox acquisition or Activision Blizzard acquisition, this is one of the bigger ones, right? This is, I think this is the one that has like turned the tide in terms of, oh yeah, Microsoft has this in the bag. Like, I don't know how much more is going to stop them at this point from actually acquiring Activision Blizzard.
Yeah.
Well played.
Game well played. We'll be continuing to update you guys on this story. But real quick, before we get to the next one, here's a word from our sponsors. Shout out to Honey for sponsoring this episode. Honey is the easy way to save when shopping on your iPhone or computer. And thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past. And we all know there's nothing better than the feeling of saving money. Honey is the free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. When you check out, the Honey button appears and all you have to do is click apply coupons. You wait a few seconds, you see the fun little dancing guy. Honey searches for coupons and it finds you the best ones. And then you just watch the prices drop. We here at Kinda Funny have been using Honey for years and it's helped us save thousands on tech, costumes, food, you name it. Honestly, I just love how easy it is to just set and forget and save. That's the best part. Honey doesn't just work on desktops, it works on your phone too. You just activate it on Safari on your phone, you save on the go. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out. You can get PayPal Honey for free at joinhoney.com/kindoffunny. That's joinhoney.com/kindoffunny. Bless.
Tim.
For $1,000, mm-hmm. for the rest of your life, every time you say the word chihuahua, people hear chewy, chewy, haha, but you think you're saying chihuahua the right way. Would you take it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never say chihuahua. Like, mm-hmm. I talk about a chihuahua, what, once every 6 months about? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I get
that. Should I start bringing up Lulu more just to fuck with Blessing there?
But like, when have I ever like even mentioned the fact that Lulu's a chihuahua? You know?
A chewy, chewy, right, haha.
Right now, we're talking about
Wait, did you hear chewy, chewy, haha?
That's what I'm hearing.
Did you just hear chihuahua when I said chewy, chewy, haha?
I owe you $1,000.
Who are the Patriots?
Let us know in the comments below if you would do it for $1,000.
Wait, when you say $1,000, what's the frequency of the $1,000? Like, just $1,000?
You get $1,000, and then for the rest of your life, chewy, chewy, haha.
Okay, I thought it was like $1,000 a week or a day or something. No, just one. No, just I'm not one. Doing that. No.
No?
No. No.
I don't know.
You gotta bump those numbers up.
Leave your chewy, chewy, ha-has in the chat if you would do
it. If you said, if we're talking about a one-time payment,
mm-hmm.
$200,000.
$200,000?
$200,000
to not
ridiculous.
Say chihuahua? Like,
well, do I know that this is the case?
No, you don't. You just you take the money and then you forget for the rest of your life. But anytime
yeah,
you say
$200,000, yeah, no. That's how embarrassing that is, and how like, do you know how crazy that'll drive me eventually? Where like 10 years from now, I'm like, why doesn't anybody understand that I'm fucking saying chihuahua the right way? Like, do you know the mental damage that would do for me? $200,000, and wow. Part of that is being used for my therapy.
That's so much money. I love. Like, I understand. Like, I was gonna say start with $500.
No, for five. What would be your price?
I don't know. I think I'd probably do it for $1,000. I mean,
no
like,
way.
Yeah, like. I just don't say
for like a word of your
I don't
speech?
Say it that much. I think it's like the perfect word for this exercise because like
I would go $5,000.
$5,000.
Yeah.
Chewy chewy haha.
Somebody says how often does Blessing say chihuahua? I just don't like being gaslit is my thing. And so it would drive me insane at one day where I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Maybe I go higher because Lulu is around, so
Lulu is around. So foreboding.
So I'd be talking about it ever like more often than like a normal person would, right? So,
yeah.
Yeah.
But like I would love $1,000. I'll love $1,000 right now.
You could buy Tears of the Kingdom almost.
Yeah, I can almost afford Tears of the Kingdom. I'm not gonna like I'm not gonna just destroy my ability to say a whole word from the English dictionary for $1,000. One time payment. If it was every year.
You're wild. Like, you want so much.
And I got a bi-monthly payment.
Story number three. Resident Evil 4 Remake Mercenaries Mode arrives early next month. This comes from Luke Riley at IGN. RE4 Remake's Horde-style mode, the Mercenaries, will arrive April 7th, meaning folks will only have to tolerate a short 2-week wait for the fan-favorite mode to arrive in-game. Capcom revealed the date of the conclusion, or at the conclusion of the fresh RE4 Remake launch trailer it published today. At Sony's first 2023 State of Play last month, Capcom confirmed that the Mercenaries would be coming as a free post-release update, though April 7th may be pleasantly closer than some were expecting.
Did you forget cool. that there was a State of Play last month? Is that what that...
I thought I read it wrong where it says Sony's first 2023 State of Play last month. I couldn't remember if I said 2023 or not.
Oh,
I just
okay.
skipped around.
Yeah. No, I see. Yeah. Okay, that happened.
I'll let y'all into my head right there. It's a dark, scary place. I'm sorry.
Does this do anything for you? Are you excited for the Mercenaries mode?
I love that people are calling it my triangle strategy.
It's awful. It's absolutely awful.
Triangle strategy, everybody.
All right, cool.
Get equipped. Sorry, what did you say, Blake?
Oh, are you excited for Mercenaries?
No, the RE multiplayer stuff is like not my favorite thing. And Mercenaries, it's fun. It's not even multiplayer. It's more like the action-y horde-y stuff. Like, I like Resident Evil to be just the core experience. Like, when they try getting a little too cute in the core games, it's usually not for me. But are you having beat RE4 Remake? I still haven't even turned it on. That's this weekend.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, like, have you not started it yet?
G went down to LA for a friend's birthday. So this weekend is just me and the pups.
Oh, shit.
We're going to hang out and get spooky. RE4 style.
You're going to reside at home and get evil up in there.
Hell yeah.
For the fourth time.
But are you interested in Mercenaries at all? Getting back into the game?
Not really. Like, I think it's a cool mode, right? I'm always down for any game adding in more content, especially if it is usually my ass is like a roguelite type thing or anything that's like run based. And so a horde mode, I would say, fits into that, right? Like, that, I think the idea of that sounds super fun to me. And I do like the gunplay of Resident Evil 4, but I don't think a Resident Evil 4 horde mode is for me in particular, is what I'll say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let us know if you guys are excited about this. I know that this is a fan favorite of the RE mode. So I'm sure people are going to be stoked about this one.
Give me a Wiimote controller. I'll play it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
The Umbrella Chronicles. You play that?
No, was that the Wii rail shooter?
There was the rail shooter that kind of went through the story of the first couple games.
I played Dead Space Extraction, I believe, which was that game's rail shooter for the Wii.
Yeah.
And I also remember when I went to a friend's house and he had Resident Evil 4 on the Wii. And I think the Mercenaries mode was in that, and he was showing me that mode, which is why I pulled that in particular. But it seemed fun from, like, just watching him do all the combat shit with the Wiimote. I was like, this seems like a fun time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'm happy for y'all Mercenary homies out there.
Perk it up. Story number four, more RE4 stuff. RE4 Remake is the series' biggest Steam launch to date. Comes from Jordan Midler at The Verge. Is that right?
No.
Jordan Midler at BGC. Capcom's Resident Evil 4 Remake is enjoying the series' largest Steam launch ever by some margin. The game was released today on PS4, 5, Xbox Series, and PC via Steam. At the time of publishing, the game is being played by 126,717 concurrent players. That's a lot. On Steam, according to independent tracker SteamDB. For comparison, Resident Evil Village attracted a peak of 106,000 concurrent players on its launch day, RE2 had a peak of 74,000, and RE3 at 60,000. 2023's other big horror remake, EA's Dead Space, attracted 30,000 concurrent players on Steam on its launch day. A lot of very interesting numbers there.
Yeah, what sticks out to you
the most? A lot of interesting points. Three of them, some would say.
What the fuck? How did this happen? Audio listeners, right now, Tim is confirming that he's part of the Illuminati.
I'm in the triangles. Think of the triangles, everybody.
He's in a triangle right now.
Looking at these numbers, though, like, okay, RE, we know, has been on an upswing recently, whether it's the 7 and 8 Village or if it was the remakes, right? And leading into 4, we knew that 4 was, like, the big dog. Like, that's the one people are looking forward to the most in terms of, like, wow, it's an all-time classic. Whereas, like, 2 and 3, a lot of people love those games, and they're definitely classics, but there's a lot of people like the Greg Millers of the world that were like, I don't like these tank controls, so I'm not touching this until it gets remade, and then it's awesome. But looking at these numbers here, it is wild that it's that much more than Dead Space. Like, I would think that Dead Space is in more of a similar conversation to Resident Evil 4 than
really
it seems to be here compared to, like, the other Resident Evils. Like, looking at this number, Dead Space is at half of Resident Evil 3.
That is the one that surprises me. But yeah, I think compared to Resident Evil 4, Resident Evil 4 is such a precious game to so many people. In terms, somebody's cackling out there, by the way. It's such a precious game to so many people, right? Like, there are so many people who ask, like, hey, what's your favorite game, or what's your top five, or whatever. And Resident Evil 4 makes that list so often, right? Like, I think part of it is how pivotal that game was in terms of, like, what it did for so much of game design, but then also the moment it was, I think, it having this, being part of this franchise that was already built in, but then also being this shift for the franchise that a lot of people could hop into, that one being their first game, right? Like, the first Resident Evil game that I ever got my hands on was the original Resident Evil 4, and I'm sure that's true for so many people. So I think that translates to why RE4 is doing so much better than even RE2 and RE3, and even better than, you know, Village, right? Like, I think it's that combination of it being this modern, feeling like a brand new game, all that stuff, but then it also being this this thing that pulls our nostalgia strings and reminds us of this thing that we love so much, right? Dead Space, I don't know if Dead Space is in that conversation of even, like, when you say quality-wise, would it appear in people's top 5, top 10, top 20 of all time? Like, I'm sure for some of us.
Yeah, I mean, those numbers maybe not. Like, top 25, I could see an argument
for people. Is there 23? Is this you saying it's your number 23?
Something like that. That sounds I can see it there. But even then, I would assume it'd be more in the, like, the somewhere between 30 and 50 range. So, like, a top 50 list with Dead Space, yeah, that sounds right to me.
Do you think that Callisto Protocol might have eaten into the numbers at all?
No, I don't. I think that that could have been the case, but just the way that those games were released and the stories of the reviews and everything. Like, I think Dead Space, it did what it set out to do, right? Which is just remake a classic, make it play like people remember the original playing, solve some of the problems, and be available on multiple consoles, right? Yeah. Just, like, be able to be available for people to want to play through again or for the first time. So many people are like, oh, I've heard about Dead Space, but now I'm in a place I can actually play it. So, like, I understand that we're talking about the different popularities, but, like, I just think that these numbers are very important to look at from the point of view of Resident Evil was never this popular. It was always a very popular brand, but at a time when video games were, like, all the numbers were so much lower. Resident Evil is now a multi-million seller. They expect these things to break records, where we've seen every time one's released, pretty much, Capcom ends up putting out numbers being like, yo, the Resident Evil sales are just through the roof. And, like, these concurrent numbers, like, 126K, that's four times as much as Dead Space.
Yeah.
That is demonstrable.
Yeah, like, I think we're, Resident Evil 4, this version of Resident Evil 4, by the time we get to the end of the year, is easily going to be in, like, the top conversations, right? Like, in the conversations of the games we talk about the most over the year, and then also in those award conversations, right? Where Dead Space is one where I get nervous that Dead Space could get forgotten by the time we get to the end of the year. And part of that is how big the year is, but then also, like, it competing in the same space as Resident Evil 4. When we're talking about survival horror, I think Resident Evil 4 is going to sort of dominate that that mind share. And I think that just speaks to, again, how powerful Resident Evil 4 is now as a brand. I think the legacy of Resident Evil 4 as well. And then, yeah, like, the upward trajectory of Resident Evil as a thing. You know, like, this makes me wonder, how well is Resident Evil 9 going to do when we get there? Is it going to be able to top the RE4 numbers we're seeing here? Or is it going to go back down to, like, where Village is at, right? Which isn't that
I imagine that, right? Like, I think that inherently there's more interest in remakes because it's a known quantity, especially remakes of something that people love, right? It's like, you're expecting it to be good. So whether you've played it before, you want to play it again, or you're like, oh, I haven't played it before, I want to play it for the first time. Mm-hmm. I just think that there's a lot of great kind of momentum towards that, whereas, like, newer titles, especially a ninth title in a franchise, I think it's a little bit like, ah, all right, like, you need to prove something to me, you know.
One thing I want to throw at you, right? So RE4, at the time of publishing this article, the game was being played by 126,717 people. Where do you think Hogwarts Legacy's concurrent players were during the week it released?
Have the number?
I have the number, yeah.
Oof.
It was part of the same article. I edited it out just for the sake of keeping the article short, but it's a fun exercise.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, so one thing that's interesting, I saw the chat bringing up here, is that the a potential thing with Dead Space's numbers being low here is that Dead Space wasn't exclusive to Steam. And there was the EA launcher, and, like, I don't even know where else it was available.
That's a good call.
So, maybe that it's not a one-to-one, but looking at it compared to the other RE games, I think there's probably a little more parity there, and still very impressive numbers. Hogwarts Legacy...
if you want a hint, I'll say it's the biggest one of the year.
Yeah, so far. I mean, yeah. So imagining what I can pull out of my ass here, I'm going to go 500K.
879,000 concurrent players during the week it was released.
That is a number. That is a large, large number. That is a number.
That is eight times larger than Resident Evil 4.
Yeah, that is many times larger than how much you would need to get paid to not say chewy, chewy, haha.
Yes. Yeah. No. For sure. Like, if you were to give me some of the residuals of Hogwarts Legacy, I might be conflicted about it for a number of reasons. But you might be able to get me to say "chewy chewy haha" instead of "chihuahua."
Man. Yeah. That's crazy.
Numbers are crazy. Yeah. That's, like, exponentially higher than Dead Space.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I mean, even looking at RE4, which is such a major success here, 130K. Like, that's nothing compared to 800 something. But even then, 130K people playing Concurrently playing Resident Evil 4 Remake. Yeah. Is like, damn, man, RE, good for you. You, Capcom.
That's way more than like the three people that were playing Babylon's Fall that one day.
Yeah.
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 So good on you.
I can't wait for this one, y'all. Story number 5. I know everyone's been waiting. It's been a long, long time coming. The Lord of the Rings, Gollum, finally gets a release date. This comes from Wesley LeBlanc at Game Informer. Oh, wow. Wow.
I can't, man. It's been a long time coming.
The first next-gen title announced?
Yep.
And here we are. It's finally coming.
We're finally getting our precious.
Daedalic Entertainment revealed The Lord of the Rings Gollum way back in 2019, announcing it would release in 2021. In 2021, however, it was delayed to 2022. In May of last year, they revealed Gollum would release in September, but then in July, announced it had been delayed once more. Now, they've announced that Gollum will finally be released this May. More specifically, it'll hit PS5, Xbox Series X and S, PS4, Xbox One, and PC on May 25th, Kevin Coelho's birthday eve.
Wow.
There'll be a birthday. Switch version of the game, but they say it's planned for later this year. Alongside today's news, they've also released a new story trailer.
Yep, and that's the one that Barrett had pulled up just now. I was on the Video Games Chronicle podcast earlier this week, and we talked about a few things. We talked about that game Everywhere. That has like the other game in it that's from like the GTA boss, and Chris Scullion had like a lot of glowing things to say about it. Actually, he was like, dude, if this hits, this is gonna change the world, right? Like, he got to see it behind closed doors. We also talked about his preview of Lord of the Rings it was Jordan Midler's preview of Lord of the Rings Gollum, and he did not sound that excited about this game. He described it as like, this feels like playing an old
Jesus
game.
Christ, look at this thing. It looks like a deranged Tommy Pickles.
What is with you coming at the Rugrats?
I love the Rugrats.
I feel like you've thrown a lot of shade at the Rugrats lately.
The fuck does that mean?
Remember what he said about Chucky Finster?
I wasn't talking. I would never.
All right, leave my guy alone. All right,
Baby's got to do what a baby's got to do.
It was like a week or two ago. Tim was talking shit about Chucky.
Pickles is my homeboy.
Yeah, my boy Tommy.
Put some respect on Tommy's name.
Telling me, you know, this game didn't preview well. That's crazy.
Yeah, at least from Jordan. I didn't read the other previews.
Oda Cooper says this man wanted a headshot Chucky Finster. Now I remember what you're talking about.
Wait, did you really forget?
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't shoot Tommy.
Compare him to Gollum.
Nope.
You just compare him to Gollum.
I want Mario to take a gun and shoot him in the head.
Jesus Christ. But anyway, Jordan kind of described this game as this feels like a PS3 game, right? Like, this feels like it's taking a lot of old ideas. It feels like a stealth game that hasn't learned from like modern stealth games, right? Like, it just doesn't seem interesting. And also visually, it's cool. It's fine. It's whatever.
What's the stealth game where you play as like a little goblin and it's kind of like a...
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
It kind of like pokes fun at like other stealth games and references them and stuff like that. Fuck.
Oh, wait, are you talking about like Oddworld? Styx, yes.
Styx. That's what this looks like, but less good.
But yeah,
oh my God.
You play as a hobbit.
Or
not a hobbit, sorry, you play as Gollum. When's the next Shadow of Mordor? That's my question. I really want a new Shadow of Mordor.
Never. They're working on that Wonder Woman game.
Yeah.
Which is like cool.
The licensing of Lord of the Rings is so confusing. Wasn't there like a big hubbub like 2 years ago that like, get Lord of the Rings and you get Lord of the Rings. Everyone except Andy gets Lord of the Rings.
I believe Embracer Group owns the rights to Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
It's either them or Amazon. I forget who has it now or both.
I think Amazon had the TV rights or something. Like, they were able to make that show because Lord of the Rings wasn't fully owned by anybody yet or something. I don't know, man. It was weird.
Who?
We'll have to ask Roger, a.k.a. The Lord of the Ring.
The Lord of the Ring. Who owns Lord of the Rings? This is an old article. Middle Earth Enterprises. Here you go.
Enterprises.
Polygon. The Lord of the Rings has a new rights owner. Embracer Group, the ambitious acquisition-hungry Swedish gaming conglomerate, has bought the rights to make films, games, merchandise, and theme parks on J.R.R. Tolkien's The Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit. And I believe they partnered with Amazon for like TV stuff. So I think Amazon has like the current rights for the TV. I don't know. I'm just saying things. Amazon's also publishing Tomb Raider. I don't know what they're doing at Embracer Group.
Yeah.
They're just signing deals.
The chat's popping off with a lot of stuff that I'm sure we'll get to, and you're wrong. But getting to your wrong, bless. So far away. If I wanted to know it was coming to mom and grab shop, stay where would I look?
You'd look toward the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Do 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 do, yeah.
Out today, Resident Evil 4 Remake on PS5, Xbox Series X and S, PS4, and PC.
Weird that it's on PS4.
It really is.
Yeah.
Really is.
Not on Xbox One, like, just what? PS4.
Bizarre. I wonder if someone knows the reasoning, please tweet at me. I'm interested. Out of the Park Baseball 24 on PC and mobile. Overloop on PS5, 4, Xbox One, Series X, and Switch. The Crown of Wu on PC, PS4, and 5. Diablo 4 Open Beta Weekend on PC, PS4, 5, Xbox One, and the Xbox Series of consoles. New dates for you. Boundary launches via Steam on April 13th. Kill It With Fire hits MetaQuest 2, Steam VR, and PSVR 1 and 2 on April 13th.
Oh, that game sounds way too scary to play in VR.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's the game where there's just spiders that you have to kill.
Oh.
Yeah, that was the one, like, Tim, if you remember years ago back in the old studio, I think, like, one of Andy's buddies, like, worked on it and, like, sent him, like, a really early build, and he would just play it all the time, and it was absolutely terrifying.
I don't like that. Don't like that at all. Stranded Alien Dawn will be launching on April 25th across everything. Except the Switch. Then Survival Fountain of Youth hits PC Early Access April 19th. After Us is launching on PC, PS5, and Xbox Series on May 23rd. And Honkai Star Rail, the next game from HoYoverse, the Genshin Impact, launches April 26th for mobile and PC.
Curious to check that one out.
Yeah.
Curious. But I'm still more excited for Zenless Zone Zero. That's their other game that they're working on.
Yeah.
It's real cool.
A little reader mail for you, Bless. How you feel about that?
I feel good about it.
Remember, you can go to kindoffunny.com/KFGD to write in questions, your comments, anything you want to say, really. Just like Bench JC did, he wants to know, what are your gaming plans for the weekend? Resident Evil 4 or Diablo 4?
I want to hop into the Diablo 4 beta this weekend. I heard very good things about it last weekend. I felt FOMO after it was done, and so I think I'm going to try and hop into it. As long as the game lets me in, because they have all the cues, you know, the cues, they're diabolical out there.
Yeah.
So yeah, I want to try and play Diablo 4, and then I want to maybe give Have a Nice Death a try. Barrett's been talking about it, and Barrett's been putting me on and getting me a little bit excited about it. That's the 2D roguelite. Right, Barrett? Like, correct. 2D action roguelite, where you play as Death? A little Death guy? A little Grim Reaper? Is that right?
Slim Reaper.
Reaper? Gwyn Weeper? So, yeah, I might try that out. But then also, I want to maybe see if I can find some, like, shorter games to play. I really want to try to play
Metroid Fusion.
I was going to say, Before Your Eyes, Greg Miller and Janet Garcia were talking about it on PSW a little bit ago, and it sounds really good, and it sounds short, and so I want to check that out. And then there's this game called 10 Dates. That's the sequel to 5 Dates. It's an FMV game where you go on dates, and that sounds like a fun time. And I really enjoyed playing 5 Dates with the homie Yami a few weeks ago. And so we're like, yo, let's play 10 Dates together. So that's what we're going to do at some point. Maybe this weekend.
Yeah, I'm going all in RE4. Really excited for it. Booting it up. Just living in that thing. It's been way too long. And I'm in the mood for an RE. You know, I was a little worried that after Dead Space, I was going to be like, oh, kind of burnt out on some of that type of game.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm ready for it, man. So, it's going to be a ton of fun. A little update for you on the Pokemon side of things. You know, I'm trying to be the very best. No one ever was. Catch them all. So I completed the Pokedex in Scarlet and Violet.
Oh, wow.
As of 2 days ago. Well, I did that a long time ago. I did that in, like, December.
Never mind. I'll take it back.
But I've been casually playing through Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee myself.
Just to catch both.
Versions. And I did as of 2 days
ago.
Yeah. Yeah. So
congratulations.
2 Pokedexes down, 7 to go.
Jesus.
Yeah,
how long is this going to take you when everything's said and done?
I don't know. Hundreds of hours. But you know what? It's going to be a fun, casual time for everybody. Will I give up at some point? Maybe.
You're not going to. I believe in you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
At the very least, I believe you're going to get through gold.
Yeah.
Silver.
Well, I think I might hold off on that one. Like, I think my next move might be redoing Sword and Shield and, like, catching them all there.
Mm-hmm.
And then going back, because, like, going to the old ones is a lot harder.
Yeah.
It's
are you
going to
try an alternate? Like, you do an old one, then you do a new one.
I'm hoping they're at a point that Johto, Gold and Silver, Crystal, we're going to get a Let's Go iteration or, like, something, like a remake of some form soon, because we're due for that. So we'll see. But anyways,
sounds like a fun weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be fantastic. You can go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong to let us know what we get wrong as we screw it up live on the show. Nano wants to know where I got a sweater. Got it from the Pokemon Center, which is the Pokemon official merch store. I love it.
The Everywhere game is called Mind's Eye. Did you watch the trailer for that, by the way?
Yeah.
That shit looks wild.
It looks wild. We talked about it yesterday where it looks super cool, but next to the Fortnite thing, it's kind of like, I don't know, there's room for all this, but we'll see.
It's just the fact that the Mind's Eye game in particular looks like Detroit Become Human and GTA had a weird baby, and I want to know how that's possible. Yeah. I want to know if you can really pull this game off within another game.
Yeah. Nanobiologist says, y'all keep saying chewy, chewy, haha. Are you trying to say chihuahua?
See, $1,000 is not worth that.
I love it.
Give me residuals on your most profitable franchises. I'll do it.
Okay, so Kebab says, the Lord of the Rings rights are confusing because they're split between novel, movie, and game rights. The same also applies to The Hobbit, as well as expanded material like what Rings of Power covers, which have their own trio of rights as well. So a lot of shit going on there. And we're going to end this beautiful week, this beautiful, 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 fantastic GDC week. It's kind of funny. With some utter fucking bullshit, Bless.
Oh, no.
Nano writes in and says, Bless said you don't play as a hobbit in Gollum, but Gollum/Smeagol is a hobbit, but was warped after being corrupted by the One Ring. You fucking nerd!
Boo.
Everyone, go watch Pokemon.
go to school. Go back to school and then find the tallest and most buff kid and then have that kid put your face in the toilet and then flush it.
Wow. Right?
And then give you a wedgie because you're a fucking nerd.
Yeah, and then find Chucky Finster and take his fucking...
No! Don't do that, Damn, Chucky Finster. Don't do that. He's too young.
Hey, man. He's all grown up. He's all grown up. He's all grown up.
He has a future ahead of him.
Let us know in the comments below if you would do the chewy, chewy, ha-ha thing and just what your thoughts are on Chucky Finster. You know? Just want to
I don't like this Chucky Finster beef.
There's no beef. No
beef. He's a precious boy. All he wanted was a mom and maybe a sister, and he got that. Good for him.
I love you all. Have a good time. Bye.